When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome to Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in collaboration with Revive Active, our show's sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. Revive Active have teamed up with UK Health Radio to offer listeners an exclusive discount so you can test their supplements for yourself and start to feel super. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio20 to get 20% off their entire range with exclusive code Radio20. I'm Dora Walsh, personalized nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems like obesity, hard to lose weight, low immunity, chronic fatigue, skin conditions, digestive problems, autoimmunity, out of control cravings, and much more. Join me each week as I delve into the fascinating world of health and nutrition, focusing on the most important tips and nutritional advice that can really aid you in your quest for health, energy, and longevity. You can find out more about me on my website, NutriHeal.net, and also follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. This week, we're talking about health washing, and it's something that is very common today in the health food world. Health washing, in the context of food marketing, refers to the practice of making products appear healthier than they actually are by using misleading health claims or marketing techniques. This often involves emphasizing specific positive aspects of a food item like low fat or high fiber, while downplaying or concealing negative aspects like high sugar or artificial ingredients. And the goal is to create a false impression of healthiness in the consumer's mind, potentially leading to the purchase of products that are not truly good for their health. This week, we have Merrick Shute, CEO of Hollies, the fastest growing breakfast brand in the Benelux. Brand new to the UK, Dutch scale-up Hollies is on a mission to challenge the world of cereals with bold, better and healthier alternatives that are also delicious. In fact, across the board, these game-changing granolas and must-try crunchy bars have absolutely no added sugars or sweeteners, are totally vegan, and are packed full of protein, fiber, and flavor. Plus, they're really good for your gut. Merrick Shute, CEO of Hollies, is EY's Emerging Entrepreneur of the Year, the finalist in November. Hollies is in the top 3% of B Corps worldwide, and also the Financial Times 1000 fastest growing companies. Welcome to the show, Merrick. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, it's great to be here, like an absolute honor.
It looks like in just 5 years, Hollies has become the number two brand in the space ahead of the likes of Jordan's, Eat Natural, Dorset Cereals, and is only behind Quaker in the Dutch market. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I think, yeah, we're just really proud that it shows that like making a healthy impact can go hand in hand with making a commercial impact. And that is the hard part today.
It's really hard. Today, we're going to be talking about health washing. Before we talk about that, and it's really important for our listeners today because they might be out in the supermarket and they might see something that looks really healthy. There's so much packaging now, and often the product is the packaging. That's what we're buying. And they're making a lot of things to look amazing. So we buy them, but then if we actually look at the ingredients, it's not that healthy at all. We're going to be talking about that. But before we start talking about that, Tell us how you came to be interested in the health industry and healthy cereals.
Back in 2018, I was working at the biggest supermarket retailer in the Netherlands as a category manager. So my job was to manage a category of products. And I think there I saw with my own eyes that big brands don't take the health of people very serious. And I increasingly felt more like part of the problem because I've always been into health, like exercising, working out, eating healthy food. And then I worked at the biggest retailer with the purpose of making a healthy impact. But the reality is that is quite hard because the majority of brands are profit driven. I'd even say like profit at all costs. And yeah, it's all about money and it's never about health. And I increasingly felt part of the problem. And yeah, I felt I need to do something to make a healthy impact on society because the stats of the Netherlands are really bad, as it is in the UK. And that was a foundation on which I started Holies in 2018 to really make a healthy impact. And yeah, we started with breakfast cereals because I just couldn't find, like from my own perspective, I just couldn't find a truly healthy granola that was not misleading and that was truly honest and transparent and truly healthy. And yeah, I couldn't find it. And that's how it started in 2018.
It's a great story. And it links into what we're talking about, health washing. Let's go into this a bit more detailed. What is health washing and why is it a problem?
I think like health washing in essence is when a product appears to be healthy, but it's really not, with claims like natural, whole grain, low fat, protein, no preservatives. It tries to show the consumer like, hey, I'm a healthy product. But if you take a closer look on the ingredients and on the nutritional value, it's really not healthy. It's ultra processed. It contains high levels of sugar. And I think that is a big problem where, yeah, brands are really trying to gain as much commercial impact as possible. Yeah, to the extent where people are becoming more unhealthy because they think they are making a healthy choice, but they're really not. Yeah, and if you look at the stats of the UK, now 63% of UK adults are overweight. One in three children are leaving primary school overweight. And I think around 6 million people have diabetes. And that is mainly because big brands don't take the health of people very serious by using health washing on their products.
It's so misleading and it's really leading people down the road of disease and early death. I know that sounds really extreme, but it's the truth because we were talking just before the show that diet and lifestyle is the leading cause of most diseases. So it can start with breakfast and it should be healthy. It sounds like the food industry is misleading consumers and that is a major problem because it's causing those health issues. Are people talking to you about this in terms of your customers?
You mean like our consumers? Yeah, they are. Like we have a really big fan base that is just really happy that we're disrupting the game and that we're challenging the food industry with a better alternative. But that is also because we don't use a lot of claims on our product. We just state that we don't use sugar, whereas our product is also high in protein, high in fiber. But I think the difference is that we exactly state the exact percentage of each ingredient that we use. Honestly, I can't think of another brand that is doing that because we just want to show super transparent, hey, this is what we put inside our product. We also make sure that the nutritional value is not something that you really need like strong glasses for to read.
Yeah.
Because it's considered the boring stuff, but to us, it's the most important information on our packaging. So that's why we also want to highlight that. And I think people are becoming more and more aware of misleading information and misleading brands, but still like 80% of the offer of the products on the shelves is not healthy. And it's just a sad situation that you almost have to be like a educated dietitian to distinguish what is healthy and what is not.
You've mentioned that you're very clear and transparent in your labeling and just explaining exactly what's on there. There's nothing added. So it's very easy for people to distinguish your product and understand what they're getting. But how else does the food industry mislead consumers in the way they describe ingredients? And why is that a problem?
First of all, they really cherry pick food claims. A product can state really big low fat on a product and then it can still contain loads of sugar, which can also lead to an increase of body fat because that is also too much energy for your body. What can also happen is that brands use the claim no added sugar, I can give you a clear example. I'm not here to bash today, but everybody knows Naked Bars, for example, their blueberry muffin bar. It stays really big, no added sugar, but the product contains 50% sugar, which is twice a Magnum ice cream. So I think they use food claims to do this, but also like with the whole combination of colorful packaging with claims. Yeah, it just leads people into the wrong direction.
You talked about your transparency and the difference in your approach to health. Is there any other way that you've been able to differentiate yourselves from those erroneous claims of other products?
I think what we also do on the back of our pack, we show an us versus them. So we calculated the average of all the products on the shelves when it comes to sugar, protein, and fiber, and we compare our nutritional value to the average of the shelf, which I think give people like a more clear way of realizing that our product is different from the average that they know. So that is something we do. And I think also because we don't claim a lot, we say a lot more. We also always show the product. We don't use overpromising photography. And I think that is also something that a lot of corporates tend to do because they really want to indulge people. And we just prefer to show the real deal over overpromising photography.
So you can actually see the product in the bag or the box.
Yeah. Yeah. You can. We always show the real product so that people are not disappointed when they open the bag at home and it's not as beautiful and as clean as it was on the photo. So we will never use photography. As I already stated, we limit health claims. We always show the exact percentage of ingredients. We have an us versus them on the pack. But on the other hand, we are also a super colorful, lighthearted, and fun brand. And I think that is also what makes us unique. You see a lot of healthy products that are branded in, yeah, with no disrespect, like a little bit like a farm style branding, really push it into a dark green corner of society. Whereas we believe, yeah, you need some playfulness to really be able to take a strict health positioning and turn it into a mainstream solution, because that's what it's all about for us, like really making a healthy impact on society and not being accessible only for the happy few.
You talked a bit about before about sneaky sugars and how some products, they appear healthy on the surface, but they may be 50% sugar. How can our listeners today, when they're in the supermarket, recognize sneaky sugars?
It's really hard because sneaky sugars go by many names. Actually, you can create a whole alphabet out of sneaky sugars. I think the list of sneaky sugars is like over 100 names, from glucose syrup to fruit concentrate to maltodextrin to coconut nectar to wheat syrups. But in essence, if as a consumer, if you read the back of the pack, and that's something, unfortunately, you should always do because of all the misleading claims. If you see a word that ends with syrup or concentrate or just a word that ends with O's, such as glucose or fructose, that's a clear red flag. And if you see an ingredient like maltodextrin and you're not sure what it means, yeah, I highly recommend to Google the ingredient and to see what it is, because yeah, the chance is quite big that it's a sneaky sugar. So yeah, it's difficult. And the honest answer is that unfortunately you have to gain a lot of knowledge and always read the back of the pack.
Is there any other way that we can recognize health washing? You've mentioned the sneaky sugars. Is there anything else that people need to be looking out for?
It's if you see a claim on front of the pack and with a big brand, yeah, try not to believe it instantly. I think always go to the back of the pack, read the ingredient list first. And not a lot of people know that the ingredients that are mentioned first are like the biggest part of the recipe. And also if they don't share the percentage of an ingredient, such as sugar or like syrups, that probably means that they also try to hide something there. I'd say step one is always check the back in the ingredients list and also always the nutritional value, because like the Naked Bar that I mentioned before, like it contains more than 50% sugar. But it also claims no added sugar on the back of the pack. And the sugar is mainly because of dates and date syrup. But for your body, sugar is sugar. So you should always check the nutritional value, check protein, check fiber, check sugar, check salt. Yeah, and really adapt your diet and the choices you make in the supermarket by gaining knowledge and by truly learning about all the products. And yeah, it's quite hard because on average, a supermarket has around 25,000 products. Yeah, it's the only way, I'd say.
People seem to be having a lot of sugar in the morning. This has happened for so long now with people having these sugary breakfast cereals. Why is too much sugar in the morning a bad idea?
Like you said, it has been for so long that people eat a lot of sugar, not only in the morning, but during the whole day. On average, people consume around 100 sugar cubes worth of sugar every week. So it's really a big problem. It's more than twice the recommended amount. And if you, what you eat in the morning really sets you up for the day, right? And I think a sugary breakfast really spikes your blood sugar. And after that, you have the crash and the blood sugar drops again. And this leaves you feeling tired, hungry again, hungry way sooner than would happen when you would have like slow, steady and nourishing food. And you'd be craving more sugar by, let's say, 11 a.m. And I think everybody recognizes that feeling that around 11 a.m. you're hungry again. But with a good breakfast that is full with fiber, low sugar, high protein, you could easily get to lunch without the energy dip and without feeling hungry again. So yeah, it's super important to not start the day with a sugary breakfast. And also scientifically, it's proven that if you have a lot of sugar in the morning, yeah, it also leads to more sugary choices during the day. So yeah, it's really a bad start.
It's really good to have some healthy alternatives out there like Holy. It seems like there's now an increasing responsibility for consumer brands to create a healthier supermarket shelf. I hope that we're going to see more healthy products coming on the shelf so people have more choice. Do you think there's a responsibility on consumer brands?
Of course, like consumer brands have a direct impact on public health. But I think the problem is that most of the consumer brands are not taking the responsibility and are not taking the health of people very serious. Why would you try to market a product more healthy than it actually is? I think that's because a lot of consumer brands are stuck on the old economic model of profit at all cost. And I think there are some options showing that really take a more healthful positioning. But yeah, it's sad to say that we're also on this level, like still quite unique. There's not a cereal brand in the world that has like us, like 26 products now, like granola, cluster granola bars that are all according to the same strict health policy. And also in development, you don't make life very easy for yourself. And yeah, but there's a big responsibility. And it's, we always say healthy politics, healthy retailers and healthy brands lead to a healthier society. And we're not here to talk about politics today, but retailers and brands have a clear responsibility to make a society healthier and promote healthier food. And yeah, the issue is that they might feel that it's that this will cost a lot of money. And I think we're the living proof that it can also be the opposite.
Despite this and that responsibility to create a healthier supermarket shelf, it still seems like big food keeps on telling sweet little lies, keeps on bringing out these products that are health washed. Why do they keep doing that if there is a growth market for healthy foods?
I think like sugar is cheap, it's profitable and it's addictive. And I think that's why big food is also still addicted to sugar. Sweet products sell. That's when I worked at the big supermarket retailer, that was actually something people would say, like sweet sells, like as long as people buy into like fake health claims, then some brands will keep using them despite the negative effect on health. And that's probably because of the positive effect it has on their P&L. And I think that's also why we exist and also why what we try to disrupt and to challenge and really call them out and show who they really are. But yeah, I think it's money driven, to be honest.
As most things are. Now, we're talking a lot more about health washing with the CEO of Holy's, and they're a natural, low sugar-free brand, the CEO of Holy's, and he's Merrick Shute. You can find out more about Holy's on their website, holys.com, also on Instagram, Holy's Official, and TikTok, Holy's official. And we're going to be talking a lot more about that after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on my weekly show, Nutrition for Me. And we're speaking to Merrick Shute, CEO of Hollies. They're an amazing sugar-free breakfast cereal. And the website for that, if anybody's interested, is hollies.com. And you can also follow them on Instagram and TikTok. So definitely check them out. And we're talking about health washing this week, Merrick. Let's talk about Hollies. What's special about Hollies products? We talked about it a bit, but it seems that they're totally different from other products on the market.
Yeah, I think what is special is that every product that we make is according to our insanely strict health policy, which the first pillar is that obviously we never add sugar. But for us, that is about a list of more than 120 ingredients that we consider added sugar that we don't use. Think about date syrup, honey, agave nectar, glucose, fructose, like all of the hidden sugars you can find in supermarkets. We don't use them. And we also don't use sweeteners. And still, we try to manage to get to a super delicious, crunchy product. And that is also high in protein and high in fiber and low in salt. So we should really try to create the perfect product for every flavor and every product that we launch. And yeah, with that, we make life quite difficult for us, but I think that is what makes us really special. And again, we also try to combine it with a super fun, colorful brand that really breaks with every convention that the category has built. And I think, yeah, that is really special about us, that we really managed to take like a super health positioning and turn it into a mainstream solution.
Was it difficult to develop your product?
Yeah, I still wake up in the middle of the night sometimes thinking back about some development processes. It's super hard and we make life quite difficult for ourselves. We work with external production and it has happened like many times that a producer tried to convince us to use some artificial sweetener or like a binder or something to make life easy for them. And we never compromised on our health policy. So it was super difficult. I think the first granola took us more than 2 years to develop. I think at first we managed to create something on a small scale in our own kitchen, but then the challenge was to upscale it into like a larger production facility and really create something for the mass. And I think even after launching, we keep on improving the recipes constantly, really playing our strength. Innovation is our superpower and we really try to improve every day. I think we're fighting big food and big food is slow and we are not. We're fast, we're agile. We can listen to the feedback of our consumers and we constantly improve. I'd say after 7 years with 26 products on shelf, granola clusters and crunchy bars, I think, yeah, we managed to put it off, but it was hard. It was really tough.
It's hard to break into this market. It's very difficult in the food industry because there's so much competition. And as you mentioned, before sugar sells. People like the taste. They find comfort in the sweet taste. And there's a lot of health washing out there that you're coming against when you're not doing that. It sounds like it's quite hard to make that commercial impact with a truly healthy product. How hard?
I think it is hard. If you look at that, on average, 80% of the offering in the supermarket is not healthy. It's really hard that if you are truly healthy to make a commercial impact. And I think 7 years ago, when we didn't have an office yet, we didn't have a team, there was no money for marketing or for retailer investment. We were really swimming against the stream, and nobody knew us, nobody knew the brand. And we were fighting not the smallest ones, like big legacy brands such as Kellogg's and Quaker and Nestle. And so, yeah, it was really hard. But I think what made it a success was we dared to invest what we had. Like we just constantly went all in and also really, yeah, really competed with them. And I think by really choosing a health positioning, never compromising, and combine that with a lighthearted fun brand, I think that was the magic. And the product really sold itself on shelf. So when we started, there was no money for promotion or for a marketing campaign. So it was really just standing there on the shelves. But people, I think, were really triggered by the colorful packaging with almost no food claims, besides the one about sugar, which made it a really clear proposition. And yeah, I think the packaging had a lot of stopping power. I still sometimes believe like our most important marketing asset is our packaging. Yeah, and I think we really managed for people to grab it and then put it in their basket and really trigger that first buy. But that's when it really starts, right? Because if the taste is off, if people don't like the taste, or if it's not delicious, then they only buy it once and then they leave it, and then we wouldn't exist today. But I'm super proud that not only do people buy it again, but they actively recommend it. Like, we have an unpaid army of professional dietitians in the Netherlands and in Belgium, and soon also probably in the UK, that promote our products to their patients who have diabetes, or to their family. Hey, dad, come on, your breakfast is so unhealthy. Please try this. So I think by really taking a position on health, yeah, we managed to put it off, but it was definitely a hard battle. I think the first 3 years, 4 years of being in business, every Christmas, I was like saying, well, I hope we still exist in 6 months, because yeah, you're really dependent on some big retailers. And if they choose that they want a different direction, or they want to give another brand a chance, that would have been game over for us. But yeah, we're lucky and happy that we managed to pull it off.
It sounds like consumers are really ready now for healthier food. Do you think the same?
I think they're ready. I think they're ready because of digital media. I think influencers and dietitians and really even doctors on social media really try to educate and use their knowledge and profession to educate people to live a more healthier life, which is making people increasingly more aware of misleading products in the supermarkets. But we still have a long way to go. Like, the unhealthy brands still have the largest market share, and still people believe that they choose products, and they still believe claims because the packaging looks trustworthy. And then if you educate them, if we educate them, people are still like, whoa, I didn't know that. So they're ready, but they're still also super unaware of their own decisions. So yeah, there's a whole world to gain. Yeah, and they still fall for the marketing traps of big food.
What kind of things are your consumers telling you about their desire for healthy food?
The moment we went fully transparent on what we are putting into our products, it led to an increase in questions about the ingredients that we use. So we are having a very active dialogue with our fan base. We involve them in new flavors. We ask them, what flavors do you want? And so there's a really active dialogue, but like, the feedback that we get is mainly still a surprise. I believe, but that's just a personal belief, like in school, we learn a lot about biology or geography, but not a lot about health and food and stuff you put in your body every day. And I think there's a whole world to gain, especially among young people, to really educate them to learn more about, okay, how to distinguish a bullshit claim from a truly healthy product.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's the main topic for today that we're discussing. But I think if we educate people and if we manage to put it off that they don't fall into the traps of misleading health claims because they just know how to distinguish like unhealthy from healthy, I think that's the solution. And we're just a disruptor in the game. But yeah, if we really want to change as a country, as a supermarket environment, it starts with empowering people with knowledge.
How easy is it to copy your product?
No, the point I want to make is that we exactly share the recipe on the back of our pack. And when we did that, people did ask us like, hey, aren't you afraid that other brands might copy your products? And we were like, we choose transparency over the fear that other brands might copy us. And also we believe that they might be able to copy our products, but for big corporates and big food, like truly healthy products will be a side project for probably many years because the old school products that they have are still like the biggest part of their business. So they're also stuck in the old economic model. And for us, we believe they can't copy our speed. They can't copy our creativity. They can't copy the brand. They can't copy the new flavors that we show. We make sure that we will always be ahead of the game and really playing the cards that big food can't. But yeah, if you ask me directly, how easy is it to copy your products? Of course, there are some elements that we use in production, like the way we bake it, the way we create a dough. There are a lot of stuff that we do that is less easy to copy. But in essence, like what we do is really simple. And we just challenge the food industry to maybe even copy us, make it simple and make people healthy again. And I think we can't do that alone. And then we truly encourage other brands to follow our lead.
You're disrupting the market now. What's your approach to marketing?
I think in essence, we try to build as a digital brand. I think everything we do is based on three pillars, of which the first is we try to do what dies in the boardroom of our competitors. So by really having like campaigns, educational campaigns or content that feels slightly uncomfortable because we really want to make a difference and we really want to challenge them and call them out. So sometimes we use direct comparisons or we do something that we are sure of that in a corporate, they would be like, okay, we don't dare to do this. We think this is, like too risky. And that's the first pillar. The second one is that we truly believe that marketing shouldn't interrupt, but it should entertain. We're a digital brand and we're really, it's all the battle for attention. And we're competing with people watching a video of, I don't know, like a cat doing a backflip. So we believe that it's really tempting to build a brand that is positioned around health with pointing finger and really telling people what they can do and what they can't do. But that's not who we are. We believe that marketing should be entertaining and something that people want to watch, and our message will stick along the way. And the third one is that everything we do is we do it ourselves. So we have a full in-house production team. We don't use marketing agencies. We don't use like producing agencies. We have art directors working for us, like producers. And we are actually also the faces of the brand. So if you check out our content on Instagram or TikTok, every face is not an actor. It's either me or my business partner or people who work for us. So like our products, we approach marketing in a very entertaining and transparent way by really, making sure that the brand has a face. And I think that's what our competitors can't, because they're anonymous, shareholder-driven businesses that don't have like a personal face that people can relate to. And I think that's so important nowadays that people genuinely feel, okay, I know this brand. I see the ride that they have. I see the passion. I see the positivity. And I want to be a part of this. And I think that's what making us different from the rest of the category.
But so great how you've differentiated yourself in terms of your ingredients, your marketing, how you present yourself as really connected to your brand. And there's a face to the brand. It's not anonymous. We're going to be talking a lot more about health washing with Merrick Shute, CEO of Hollies. You can check them out on their website. It's actually hollies.com. and after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on my weekly show, Nutrition for Me. And we're talking about health washing with Merrick Shute, CEO of Holies. You can find out more about them on their website, holies.com. Also follow them on Instagram and TikTok. As I mentioned, we're talking about health washing. We've talked about all the different ways that food brands can fool us into thinking that our products are healthy and the different things that we need to look out for in terms of the sugars, the sneaky sugars, the concentrate, the syrup, the O's, the dextrin. I've been making notes and really looking at those ingredients and checking what you're eating. It sounds, Merrick, that retailers are more open to healthier offerings. What's your opinion?
I think if you look at the strategy of every big retailer in Europe, like health is a part of it, right? The question is, do they truly deliver on that strategy? And yeah, our feeling is that it's quite mixed. I think big food has a long history of controlling the shelf a little bit with big budgets and long-standing relationships. I think it's a competitive area that is hard to disrupt. But that being said, I think we managed to pull it off because we really understand the retail game. We really understood that you can't just show up with only an healthy offering and not ignoring and to ignore like the commercial aspect of the game. Retailers are also commercially driven organizations. So next to bringing something healthier to their shelf, they need like the confidence that you're also delivering on like their commercial ambitions, right? And I think that is something that we understood from day one. And that is also why the door was wide open. Because yes, they are interested in healthier offerings. They were really inspired by what we made and they were ready to give us a chance, but they also wanted to know, okay, do you understand what it takes to be on the shelves of the supermarket when it comes to supply chain, when it comes to investments, when it comes to promotions? And I think like we showed that we understood that. And the beautiful thing after launching us was that all their data showed that we attracted a lot more consumers to the category. So it wasn't only like consumers switching from, let's say, a Quaker or a Kellogg's product to a Holies product, but we also attracted a lot of people that probably lost faith in breakfast cereals a long time ago and gave it another shot after we listed. I think that is the powerful thing. And we see that they're open, but sometimes, to answer your question a bit more deeply, sometimes you also see that they also lack the knowledge of health a little bit. So sometimes they believe that they are already offering something healthy and then we have to convince them sometimes by email because they don't want to meet us yet that what they currently offer is not as healthy as they think. So sometimes it also seems that they fall for the same trap as consumers do. It's hard, I think, in essence. Yes, but with a lot of buts. Like it has to be commercial attractive. You have to be ready to supply. And also you depend on individuals working for big retailers. Okay. Is their knowledge about what is healthy and what is not? Is that up to date or is it not? Yeah, I hope that answers your question a little bit.
If these retailers are falling for the health washing, this is really dangerous because they've got the health of the nation in their hands, because most people buy their food from supermarkets. They don't go to the farmer. So it would be wonderful to go to the farmer direct and buy your stuff from the health in the farm shop. But most people, I'd say over 90% of people go to the supermarket. So yeah. If foods are being fooled by the health washing, that is very serious. So it sounds like you're educating them to know what to sell on their shelves to help consumers to be healthier.
Yeah, I think you're right. We have a slide in our pitch deck that we show to retail that shows like a very factual us versus them, where we show like the average of our nutritional value and the average of the brands that they currently sell. And it comes as no surprise, but we are the lowest in sugar and the highest in fiber and protein. And all the other brands like are far behind with sugar, but also with fiber and protein, because while we focus on sugar with our marketing and with our food claims, we also try to make sure that the total nutritional value is the best in class. And with showing them the us versus them, sometimes you can literally see their eyes opening. They sit up straight and they're like, what is this? Is this my shelf? And then we also, it's usually also the slide where we feel like, okay, we will get a deal, because yeah, you just see that they're being educated, like you said. And it's also a beautiful moment because when you work for a retailer, I've worked for a big supermarket retailer myself. Yeah, I just got like a job as from a category, but it wasn't because I had a lot of knowledge about health. Like, your first and foremost job is to create a shelf that is delivering on the commercial goals of the retailer, not necessarily on the health goals of the retailer.
Now, you're the fastest growing breakfast brand in the Benelux.
Yes.
What is the difference with the UK and the Netherlands when it comes to health?
I think if you look at the statistics on health, we are doing in the Netherlands slightly better than the UK. I think here 50% of adults are overweight. 1 in 5 children are overweight. But the problem is the same, and we are actually moving into the wrong direction. So I think maybe in the Netherlands, people are a little bit more used to low sugar, more functional food products than it is in the UK. But yeah, I think there's also growing momentum in the UK and people are becoming more aware. And yeah, but I was quite shocked when I walked into a Tesco's and I saw like a full aisle of cereals, and still like 95% was the classic Cocoa Pops, like really sugary offerings. So I think, that is slightly different. So maybe it's harder to convince mainstream people in the UK to switch, but I'm pretty sure that we will manage to. And also because of social media, I like that the distance becomes less and less, right? Information travels really fast, and also the change is traveling really fast. So I'm pretty sure that there are also a lot of similarities. And actually, we grew up with a peanut butter sandwich in the Netherlands as breakfast. And I think in the UK, like the classic cereals is something you guys grew up with. So the category is way bigger. And yeah, therefore also the opportunity for us to make a difference is also very big. So we're super excited to bring our brand to the UK.
It's a big goal. I've tried it myself. Where can people get it?
At the moment, we are for sale at Ocado. That's the online retailer. We deliberately chose Ocado to start with because we really wanted to learn about, okay, is the concept working? Do people understand our brand? What is the feedback on the flavor? And via Ocado, you get a lot of data. You get a lot of like qualitative reviews on your product. So we could really see, okay, how do people respond to the product? And honestly, we were super excited because we're already beating some legacy brands that everybody knows. And yeah, in such a way that we decided to hire a local team. So there are currently two local people working in our London office. And yeah, the goal is to increase our customer base by opening the doors to some big retailers in the UK over the course of the next 12 months. And we just opened our office in London. So yeah, we're really excited and happy. And maybe 12 months, you can buy it everywhere. That should be the goal.
I'm looking forward to that. These are great ambitions. And listeners, I hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Please join us again next week on the Nutrition for Me show on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show's sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. Revive Active have teamed up with UK Health Radio to offer listeners an exclusive discount so you can test their supplements for yourself and start to feel super. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio20 to get 20% off their entire range. Until next week, thank you and goodbye.